Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. It's a Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Send the hot takes at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. Let's go right to the hotline and ask a question where Anthony Davis is going to be playing as soon as possible to Michael Lee from The Athletic. Senior NBA writer for The Athletic all across the globe. Find him on Twitter at Mr. Michael Lee. Hello, Michael.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Where the hell? I'm doing well. Where the hell is Anthony Davis going to end up?
It won't be New Orleans. It's like the way things are sort of building. But I think it's sort of a different situation, a unique one, than I can remember, when it comes to, you know, to the star chase. You know, I think it started in 2008 when LeBron, you know, people were pursuing LeBron to leave Cleveland. But with Anthony Davis, it just feels like from the moment he got to New Orleans, there's been a campaign to get him out of there. And it's been like from other teams, yeah, from other players, and it's always been bubbling to the surface. And I feel like it's now just trying to reach the head, just because there's actually a date when that contract's coming to an end, and the people can really hammer it home that it's time to get him out of there. But I think it's unique that it's been this way from the jump. Like the minute he signed his extension to stay in New Orleans, it was like, okay, how do we get him out of here? And I feel like it sort of made the situation in New Orleans very tenuous, more tenuous than it probably should be. And very difficult. And I know people talk about just small markets and everything else and the challenge they have to keep stars. But I don't think I've ever seen a campaign from the media, from players, from everywhere else to just make sure that a guy leaves his team. Because he's never once said, I want out. He's never made it anything other than I want to play here and win here and make a name for myself here. And I'm sure maybe he's just saying the right thing. But I know that there's no way that he can function without eventually letting that bleed into his head that, like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah. I'm not even – and I laughed. I totally agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I know that it sucks to lose a player of that caliber if you're in a market that isn't New York or L.A. or something like that, because they don't really lose players of that caliber, at least who are in their primes. If he were to re-sign, do you think there's any chance that he re-signs in New Orleans at first, or is that just even a question not worth asking?
I don't see it happening, primarily because, you know, just from beyond the speculation and the nonstop, you know, drumbeat to get him out of there, the Pelicans just haven't really built a solid team around him. And I think that he's going to look around and say, okay, well, I gave this franchise, you know, 7-8 years. I think it's time for me to look elsewhere and see what I can do. And that's the clock everybody's on. You know, no one's entitled to stay anywhere for the same forever. You know, especially now when players have the ability to sort of take control of their destiny, play wherever they want to play, play with whoever they want to play with. There's nothing keeping him to, you know, there. And the team hasn't done enough to make it worthwhile. You know, I think that's what makes it unique. You know, it's not like LeBron leaving Cleveland after winning 66 games. You know, it's not like Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City after they reached the conference finals. You know, this is a team that's really struggled to get past the first round of the playoffs or just even make the playoffs. And that's going to make it an easier decision for Anthony Davis whenever he decides to go elsewhere.
Is there anything, Michael Lee joining us on the show from The Athletic, is there anything the league can do to entice players to stay
No, and I think that the mistake that they're going to make is to continue to try to give home teams an advantage. You know, sometimes it's good to just say this relationship is no more, and I think it's time to do something, try something else. But forcing guys to stay somewhere where they don't want to be, you put yourself in really difficult situations. You know, they created a Supermax contract, which is supposed to provide so much financial incentive that a player would be foolish to leave it behind. But we've seen that it sort of backfire in that now teams will, say, develop a star. But then once they get to the point where you have to pay them, it's like, well, they're good, but they're not, like, change the direction of our franchise good.
Yep.
We got to trade them. You know, Sacramento did it with DeMarcus Cousins. Chicago did it with Jimmy Butler. They didn't get a chance to do it because he asked out, but Indiana's probably going to face the same decision with Paul George. But you have a really good player, somebody that's been in your system, that's come up, you know, but, you know, developed, and you should take pride in the fact that we developed this guy, you know, to become an all-star, you know, or one of the top players in the game. But he's not the top player. And, you know, there's only five or six guys that can really move the meter in terms of making your team an automatic contender and also, you know, be in box office. But now everybody gets a chance to get paid. You know, I think there are probably, you know, 20, 30 guys making over $20, $30 million. And there just aren't that many good players, you know, to really do that. So I think that it's backfired in a sense. You keep creating all these incentives, but the player eventually says, I want out, and you just have to deal with it. You know, it's just like anything. You can't just provide a bunch of incentives for your girlfriend to stay. If she decides to leave, she's going to leave.
Michael Lee joining us on the show. Well, I agree with that. So do you think he could end up in L.A., or where do you think he ends up? Because I fear that the L.A. thing might be a little bit played out because of where LeBron is in his career and where Anthony Davis might be in his career and how some guys are kind of wanting to branch out and do their own thing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if I'm New Orleans, I'm making sure L.A. doesn't get him because of the situation that's occurred this week, you know, with the fact that LeBron, whether innocent or not, or whether he was actually just, you know, putting his foot down, the fact that he put the franchise in a very difficult situation. They're struggling right now as a team. They're having a hard time trying to win games. And to have someone with the power of LeBron to come out and say, yeah, I love to play with him, you know, no matter what his intent was, no matter what he thought, you know, the result of that coming was going to be, it put pressure on Alvin Gentry to automatically say, no, we're not going to trade him. And now the franchise has to respond to what's been said. And then, you know, every outlet is speculating about him. And so every question has to be asked about his future when that can't do anything to help a struggling team focus on the here and now. So it's really a difficult challenge. So I think that to answer your question, I know I'm dancing around, but to answer your question, I think Boston, to me, is the best position to make a trade for him because, you know, next summer will be the time when the Warriors can offer him a Supermax and he can say yay or nay, and then they can make a move. But whenever you have a guy of this caliber, you know, a once-in-a-generation type player, you want to do everything you can to keep him in your organization for as long as you can. And, you know, I think that, say, like, well, when Cleveland had LeBron the first time, you know, I'm sure they never really thought about trading LeBron. They wanted to make sure that they just did everything they could to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
He inevitably left, and of course he came back, whatever. But some things you just can't prepare for. You know, say, well, you don't want to be left empty-handed. You have nothing to show for. But it's not often that, you know, no matter what, if you trade one of these types of players, it's not often the return is going to be something that makes it worthwhile anyway. So if I'm New Orleans, I keep him for as long as he's under contract to perform for me.
Michael Lee, damn it, you're so fantastic. Michael Lee with us on the show, at Mr. Michael Lee on Twitter. All right, what did you think of LeBron's comments on HBO?
About the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
I don't dispute them. I think that, you know, there appeared to be a situation with a player now who's been basically outlawed or banned from the league just for expressing an opinion that to me doesn't seem to be all that controversial if you think about human life and consequences and how we should respect and honor that. But it turned into a political statement, and now he's been out of the league for 2 years and teams have bent over backwards to keep him out. That sends a message to players that if you don't agree with the political ideology of the guys writing the check, then we will make sure that you will not step foot on this field. And that's a scary statement to send to fans and especially to athletes that, you know, if we don't agree with you, we will make sure that you don't get paid, that you don't get a chance to do what you love to do. And I can't dispute anything that he said. And I think that the owners have basically supported that opinion, whether it's right or not. If actions have basically made that something that is hard to dispute.
Michael Lee joining us on the show. I think that, and obviously it's a big question, but I don't think that Colin Kaepernick or anybody else, Eric Reid as well, I don't think they're the only guys who, and Eric Reid's back in the NFL, I don't think they're the only guys that, whether they've actually conspired to do it or not, owners have decided to keep out of the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball for that matter. Do you know or do you believe LeBron? Do you think that he will go by these words and stand by these words if he becomes an owner in professional sports someday in the terms of if there's a player who's troublesome and troublesome to the political beliefs or troublesome to the beliefs of owners, very rich people, which LeBron is one of those. Will he go back and do something that goes against these words, goes against his feelings because he is an owner now? Will he go back on that or will he still stand by these words 10 or 15 years from now when he does become an owner in professional sports?
I would like to believe that based on what he said that he would sort of stay consistent with what he feels. You know, but it also kind of goes back to Michael Jordan, where, you know, he was a guy that during, you know, labor disputes as a player would challenge owners and, you know, confront them, you know, and made it very clear to the Bulls that players win championships and not organizations. And now he's on the ownership side. And he was one of the main guys, you know, during the 2011 lockout who was basically demanding, you know, changes to be made to make it easier for small market owners to, you know, to profit. So I think that, you know, when you're on the other side, your motivations are changed and motivations are different. But I also feel that when it comes to this particular incident with Colin Kaepernick, I don't see how LeBron would do something opposed to just how he's carried himself and what he seems to be about, you know, what he seems to believe. I don't think that he would violate that. There may be another instance, another situation that may challenge him in terms of, you know, how he builds his teams, you know, whenever he decides to go into ownership, and I believe he will because he's proven to be a power player as a player like we've never seen before. But I just feel like as it relates to this situation, I don't think that he would go against what he said.
Michael, they're tough questions to answer. That's why I wanted to have you on, because you're better than a lot of people out there to answer them, and I thank you very much for the time, buddy. All the best. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Hey, anytime, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate this conversation.
Yep, Michael Lee from The Athletic. Find him on Twitter, at Mr. Michael Lee. I'll have a point about that coming up a little bit later on in the show. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Howard Bolzer in just about 20 minutes. Coming up next, 3 up, 3 down. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. Who's trending up? Who's sinking down? It's time to find out on Free Up, Three Down with Ken Carmen. Here on CBS Sports Radio. Who's up?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Mike McCarthy is about to be up. Now, I know Hickey's about to kill me for it, but think about this. Adam Schefter reporting that he's going to get head coaching looks. This won't affect Aaron Rodgers' legacy, but it should. Go with me on this. Mike McCarthy in New York with the Jets. Mike McCarthy in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield or with Sam Darnold in New York. If he goes out there and he wins with either one of those quarterbacks and Aaron Rodgers never wins again, you can't tell me that some of this was the pressure getting to Aaron Rodgers over the time where he looks at the other legends around him, even though Drew Brees seems perfectly happy and still wanting more, but perfectly happy working with Sean Payton, even though he only has one Super Bowl and no MVPs. But you can't tell me that the pressure wasn't getting to Aaron Rodgers at 35 years old and often injured with him and Mike McCarthy and him changing the plays of the line and turning it into a you-know-what match with Mike McCarthy over calling the plays. If Mike McCarthy were to go somewhere else and have success and Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any more, it should affect Aaron Rodgers' legacy overall. It won't, but it's a good chance for Mike McCarthy to resurrect his. You got to air him out a little. He's got that stank on him as a fired coach, but he has been a good coach in the past, and maybe something fresh will give him a better chance. Next.
Who's down?
Steve Wilks. If you're going to fire this guy, you better fire Steve Keim while you're at it. To have a guy in, did anybody out there, and I know they've played like absolute dumpster juice, did anybody really think the Cardinals were going to do anything this year at all? Did anybody out there, Hickey, did you?
Did not have any high hopes for the Cardinals.
Zimmerman, how many wins did you think that the Cardinals would have this year?
I said like 4 or 5.
4 or 5. So they had 3. So they're down by 1. You're going to fire that guy after 1 year? That means that you didn't do your due diligence in hiring him. That means that you've wasted your time of your fan base. You've wasted your time of Larry Fitzgerald. You've wasted your time of the organization. You've wasted your time of the owners. And I know that he's put a lot of good hay in the barn over his time. But that is a complete and utter falsity of what you've been able to do from the past, where you have a coach and you have him in there for 1 year. You're the one who hired him. You've embarrassed yourself. If you can't hire a guy who's not good enough for just 1 year, your ass needs to be out on the street too. Next.
Who's up?
Greg Williams. Every single one of these wins, he keeps making a case for himself to stay in Cleveland. 60 years old, the face of Bounty Gate, even though that Sean Payton took a year off too because of it, and a guy who's obviously known for his intensity. I brought it up last week. He could be, and I still don't know if he gets the job, but he could be the perfect person for Baker Mayfield. It could be kismet. They could have been put on the earth for each other, but in a 40-year difference. One is intense, on the defensive side, has a chip on his shoulder, a bit of a checkered pass. The other one, intense, chip on the shoulder, bit of a checkered pass, but on the offensive side, these two could be perfect for one another. If they win against Baltimore on week 17, on Sunday, and finish 8-7-1, and he finishes 6-2 in his final 8 games, what the hell is John Dorsey going to do? He has a very tough decision on his hands. Next.
Who's down?
Mike Tomlin, 4th and 5, and that's what you do in your own zone. In your own half of the field, 4th and 5, and you decided to fake it with Roosevelt Nix, and you gave one of the most prolific quarterbacks in history time and a short field to score a touchdown on you. Sorry, buddy. I know you've won a Super Bowl, so it's weird for me to say this. I feel that the moment was too big for you. Next.
Who's up?
Hickey, join me on this, won't you?
Oh, boy.
Macaulay Culkin. Do you know who Macaulay Culkin is?
Yeah, of course. Home Alone.
Home Alone. Did you see him in the Google spoof commercial of it?
No, I did not.
Did anybody? Zimmerman, did you see it?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of him in the movie or in the commercial?
I mean, it was very weird. I mean, he's...
It was weird. I thought he was great.
I don't know. I just... Ever since his whole... Like, he's had a weird past 10 years.
You think?
Yeah, but I just can't look at him the same way. I think that's why it was weird.
Because what? Because he's not 7 years old anymore?
Yeah, he's not an innocent little child.
Oh, come on. Get over it. I think people want to see Macaulay Culkin. I think 2019 could be the year of Macaulay Culkin. The last movie he was in, he's going to be in Changeland in 2019. The last movie he was in was Adam Green's Aladdin back in 2015. Heard he got great reviews. You remember him in Party Monster in 2003. He was wonderful in that movie. Richie Rich, he was awesome in Richie Rich, but he was just a child back then. Home Alone, Home Alone 2, My Girl. I want to see the guy act again. He's a grown man now. He's 38. That's why I love the move where he was clutching his back after jumping up and down on the bed. It's like, can't do that anymore. But I want to see Macaulay Culkin again. I think the world is right for Macaulay Culkin. Did you guys ever see The Good Son, by the way?
I've heard of it. Never seen
it. He does a heel turn for The Good Son. Zim, baby, it's something. It is something, The Good Son, where the role that he plays in that movie, you got to see it. All right, final one. Go ahead and hit me with it.
Who's down?
You guys ready to hate me?
I guess so.
Let's do it.
Festivus.
Oh, no!
Come on.
Played out. It is played out. I love Seinfeld. I love Seinfeld, and I love everything about Seinfeld. But for a radio guy, guys, it's played out. Like, it crossed. Are you guys going to do an airing of grievances next week? Oh, you guys got Festivus coming up. You doing that, huh? You guys going to do a feats of strength? Hey?
Can I say something then?
You guys going to play clips with Kruger coming over? It's played out, man. I can't do it anymore. Go ahead.
If that's played out, can we also say the soup Nazi is very played out?
What, no soup for you?
Yeah, I'm over that.
But you know what it really does, though, you guys? Notice this, won't you? Don't let it escape you. It highlights how much bad television there's been between Seinfeld and now. Do you know that?
I'll agree with that.
Like, how many people, if you quote Seinfeld, 90% of the population over 30 years old, and you guys are both under 30, right?
Yes.
And yep. You guys both know it. So 90% of the population, I'll still give a good ripe number at 30. 95% of the population over 30 know what you're talking about with Seinfeld. Do you think you could walk around on the streets and give one or two Big Bang Theory lines and people would know what you're talking about?
Definitely not.
I mean, no.
What other sitcoms have there been in the last 15 years?
The Office is the only one I can.
You could, okay, you could do The Office. You could do That's What She Said.
Friends,
that's
I guess.
It. Friends, I honest, are there that many? Friends was a great show. I wasn't into it, but I know it was one of the shows of the 90s. Are there really that many quotable parts? There were so many things in real life that happened with Seinfeld. It was just such a transcendent show. And now you look across the spectrum, since The Office, you guys, I have not watched regular primetime television since then. And even then, I used to watch it back on DVR. I've not watched a network broadcast sitcom. And I don't know how long, and I don't know when the next time it's going to be. So Festivus, I love the idea. I love Seinfeld, you guys. It's just coming from a radio dummy's perspective. It's just played out.
You have any grievances there?
Oh, God. Peter, you know, if it were to happen on a weekday, Peter, you know it better than I do. If it happened on a weekday, every show in Dubuque, Iowa, or wherever it might be, hey, all right, call me up. Call me up today, 330-309-4222, and tell me you're airing a grievances. Oh, let's do a whole show. Yeah. It's just bad. It's just bad now.
And I'm in no condition to have any feats of strength right now.
Oh, God, you can't wrestle anymore.
No, not at this moment, no.
I need some help from you guys a little bit later on, okay? Now, are you leaving? What time are you leaving? We're at 1:30?
I'm here for your entire show.
Okay, Peter, I have a real big problem on my hands, Peter, because my wife wants to name my to-be-newborn son, my impending son. He won't be here till May.
Okay.
He wants to name him a name that I cannot... As a radio show host in Cleveland, I just simply can't do.
I fully support the name Peter.
I haven't thought about it. It's maybe a little low on the list. I was trying to be nice about it. I want to run this name by you and Hickey because I don't know if it'll sit well, and I have many reasons why.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Still paying attention to Sunday night. Seattle on top of Kansas City, 38-31. We'll have Howard Baltzer try to get him on after the game. We might have him on at midnight Eastern because I love Howard. I do love him that much. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'll tell you that if Russell Wilson, if he turns this one off, it makes up for that terrible, terrible game that they had last week where they committed something like 14 or 15 penalties. He was trash. And I've pointed out that they're in the postseason right now, and the only reason they're even close is because of him. They're going through roster turnover right now. They shouldn't be being talking about the playoffs. If it was a lot of other quarterbacks, if that's Matt Stafford, forget about it. This is elite quarterbacking right now. For Patrick Mahomes, who's on his way to being one of the league's elite quarterbacks, I hope he takes this as a lesson. If Kansas City could still come back and win this game, it's not absolutely an absolute right now. They got to get the onside kick and everything else. But for these guys here, I think it needs to be a lesson here because this is, for what Russell Wilson does for that football team, and that's the biggest test of all these guys, when you start to change out rosters and you're still able to keep your team's head above water, 500 or better something in there, you're an elite quarterback. That's why Andrew Luck, we haven't talked about Andrew Luck that much this year. At the beginning of the year, it seemed like he was just happy to be playing football, being alive, that type of thing. To see him lead that team now to what, 9-6? And still with a chance to make the postseason, they have the best quarterback out of that group of teams that are fighting for it right now. That's elitism. If you're still healthy and you're overcoming still those terrible Ryan Grigson drafts that you've had 3 years ago. Now you've had with Chris, you've had it a little bit better now. And with Frank Reich as a head coach, you've had it a little bit better. I'm not taking anything away from that for Andrew Luck. You've had a pretty good run right now. But I think for him to have that team at 9-6, even if they don't get it, I think they're one of the teams that we should talk about next year that can make a berth into the playoffs, get a berth into the playoffs, and then make a run into the playoffs. That's elite. And you've already seen it once before. That was with a team that was a little bit more veteran. They went after some big pieces for him, didn't necessarily hit on some of those big pieces for him, but went after big pieces. They really tried to go for the gusto the first time around with Andrew Luck. There are guys, when you have cap issues, where you have injuries, and they throw a team on their shoulders and they make it better, that's elitism. That's why, you know, I'm watching Sam Darnold over these last few games. I don't think a Jets fan needs to worry about anything. I do worry a little bit about Rosen for the future and Josh Allen for the future. Lamar Jackson, I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, but he keeps playing well, so I want to give credit where it's due. And for Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, that's an entire history of a franchise that you have to resurrect. Right now, those two with him and Darnold, they look pretty damn good. You still need to see how year two progresses for both of those guys. But I think Darnold's starting to really come out of the woods and play really well, even though they lost today. I think he's started to really play well for them. On the other side, when you see a guy like Russell Wilson, that should be a lesson for a guy like Patrick Mahomes. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hickey, I got to ask you a question here.
Sure, let's hear it.
All right, now, I will get Peter in on it later, but so many people ask me on Twitter, I'm gonna ask you now. I brought it up kind of as a joke, and it was just brought up as one of these jokes here for the show, okay?
Okay.
My wife has started, because it became a question of, who would you name your son after? Bernie Kosar, Bernie, or Baker Mayfield? I hold a hand to God. I swear on my two children that are running around right now. She likes the name Baker and really wants me to name the son Baker and have us name the son Baker, I should say. And her mother-in-law, she was watching the game today out in Youngstown, Ohio. She just texted Liz during that game today, you know, Baker's a really good name for a boy. I really like that name. And she told me that, and she's dead serious about it, and I just dread the prospects of naming my son Baker Mayfield, or naming my son Baker with the influence of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I'll say this. If it's Bernie or Baker, I like Baker. And you're kind of lowering your son's kind of expectation.
Well, I did it as a joke. Hickey. I did it as a joke. It was a joke. It was something that you know, goof around with. Hey, we're doing Would You Rathers. It's Tuesday. Bernie or Baker? Da 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 da. And a lot of people said Baker, and it was just joking around with it. And then, sure as hell, she ends up liking the thing, and my mother-in-law does too.
I mean, that's a thing nowadays too. Like you know, to go the uncommon name, if you want to say, you know, John and Tom.
It's gonna be a common name. And it's such an it's a common name because people know who Baker Mayfield is, and you got to remember exactly where I broadcast from.
Oh no, I get that. I was just saying on a national level. Excuse me. The only tough part is, you know, you really got to hope Baker lives up to expectations that you think he will. If not, like if he flames out, well, let's just say, I'm not saying he will.
Isn't that
but if
just
it happens? Listen, it's a lot of pressure for a rookie quarterback to name
Hickey.
Your son
Hickey,
after him.
Doesn't it just seem weird? Does it not seem weird? For a guy who hosts radio shows in Cleveland, for a guy who hosts this show on CBS Sports Radio to have a son named after Baker Mayfield after 1 year, because he'll be going into his second year in May when the child is born.
Oh, I'm going to name him
Baker.
It's a little risky to name him after a rookie quarterback.
Like something bad happens or he ends up being a terrible quarterback, maybe he gets figured out. Maybe he ends up being a terrible quarterback. Then to have that with you and just it's just weird, man. He's a grown man. I'm a grown man. I'm 10 years older than Baker Mayfield. I'm really going to name him Baker after Baker Mayfield? That's not weird to you?
No.
Thank you.
I'm on your side with that.
Thank
yes.
you. Zimmerman.
Yes.
What do you think?
First of all, I'll say if your wife and mother-in-law already like Baker, it sounds like you've already lost. But
I haven't lost anything. I'm the one who's got to sign the birth certificate. She'll be high on drugs.
Very, very true.
There you go. I know you two don't have kids. I do, and I've been through this twice already. And trust me, she is stoned to the bejesus when I signed that birth certificate. I could have written anything I wanted to the first couple of times.
All right. Well, I'll say this. I kind of agree that like if Baker does if he does flame out, then you're stuck with. Every time you call your son's name, you just get reminded of what could have been. And I think that's a lot. And also, a grown man...
He won't
man,
take any ridicule?
No, I also...
Exactly. I think he will. What were you going to say about grown men?
I was going to say, you mentioned a grown man naming a kid after a 21-year-old. That's...
It's 23.
He's 23. Okay, anyway. A 23-year-old. You know, it's different if you name him after, like...
Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Okay, so then
no,
don't.
God, no.
Then don't. You can name him Sam.
No.
Sam's a good one.
Like if he would. No, I'm not naming him Sam after Sam Darnold.
I was just kidding.
Zim. Okay. I just think it's very, very weird. And plus, Baker is a person. He's a fallible person, which means that he could do so. Like say he pulled some sort of, God forbid, say he pulled some sort of Kirk Cousins and got himself out of here at some point. Now he follows around with that name. Like, there's plenty of LeBrons in Northeast Ohio that then they have to have that fight every single time with a person who's a big Cavs fan, who's mad that LeBron left, like that type of thing. Even though there's not that many people. Do you guys get what I'm saying here?
Right.
So it follows them around, too. I think it's very weird. I think it's because my oldest is Axel. And that came after an argument between my co-host, my regular co-host, Anthony, and my regular producer, Kenny, where they were arguing during a time where we were filling in for another show. And he said, right here, I can't say the word, Brian Axel Hoyer. And so technically, I heard that name. And so if you really want to get technical about it, yes, I heard it within Brian Hoyer. So I said, hey, Axel's a good name. Let's call him Axel. Eli, I always kind of liked the name Eli, and Liz liked the name Eli, so we named the second one Eli. It's not after Eli Manning. Everybody thinks Axel's named after either Axel Rose or Axel Foley. It's not. And you get Baker over here, and I'm thinking, man, I am a 32-year-old man. I'll be 33. There is no way in hell I can name him. So if I was a kid now, say I was 15 now. Are you guys following me on this?
Yep. Yeah.
And you guys know where I'm going on this. And then I have a kid when I'm 25 or 28 or something like that, and Baker Mayfield has gone 10 years and 15 years into his career, then I think it's okay to name him Baker. because he's a guy that I grew up with, grew up watching. He is still a kid in comparison to me. That is weird.
Yeah, that's
and I'll never
true.
Be able to get that out of my head that, yeah, Liz just, hey, she really likes the name. They both. My mother-in-law thinks it's a good name. Everybody thinks it's a good name. And I'm going, man, nothing against Baker Mayfield whatsoever, obviously. I can't do it because of him. I hate the name because of him. It's a good name for him. But to name it, I'm just looking at myself going, how do I look myself in the mirror and have any respect that I name him after someone who was 10 years younger, who isn't some sort of a... I mean, Baker Mayfield's a great player, don't get me wrong. Is he a national hero? Is he a veteran? Was he a buddy of mine growing up who happened to pass away? Is he a family member? Like, there's nothing there. It's just he plays for the Cleveland Browns. My wife really likes the name. I think my wife likes the name so much because I don't like the name so much. So then she wants to name him Baker. Like, his name could have been Istanbul, and she would want to name him because of that. That bothers me, you guys. Because we're struggling to figure out a name. We really are. This one, you get to, like, the third boy, you start running out of names. That Jim Gaffigan bit about being named after a sandwich, that starts to be true. Because the first two, Eli's a great name. That's the second one. Axel, we heard Axel. I loved Axel, you guys. That third one, though.
Are there any other options on the table right now? And you also have till May, too. So it's not like, you know, the boy's coming next week and you have a panic attack or a time crunch. You still have 6 months to go.
What do you guys think of Matt Dellavedova Carmen?
It's got a nice ring to it.
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding as well.
I mean, is there anybody out there you name your kid after right now?
Like, athlete-wise?
Anything.
I mean, like, maybe a family member, but...
Family members are family members. That's
what
one
I meant.
Thing.
Like,
and she won't name him. I like the name William. I think it's regal. But my grandfather had it, and she goes, well, his last name's already going to be Carmen, so you don't need to name him that. She doesn't like that name. And I'm going, okay, fine. We'll name him Baker Carmen, and he can answer to that for the rest of his life. And I can answer to it, too.
What about
Hey, what's
Ken
your son's
Jr.?
Names? I'm already Ken the second. We don't need a Ken the third. No, that's always a little odd.
How about
I'm done
Trey?
With that.
You can call him Trey Carmen.
Are you even trying right now, or are you just thinking of things to fill the void?
Honestly, what do you think of the name Michael?
That's too common.
So you don't want it to be common. Okay.
How many Michaels are in the world?
A lot.
Too many. And they all go by Michael. There's no Mikes anymore.
I'm Mike.
Really? Because I know a lot of guys who go by Michael and they insist on going by Michael. Like Michael Lee, we just had on. Michael Lee's great. Michael Lee goes by Michael. I've never called him Mike.
I mean, the only people that call me Michael are my mom and grandma, but that's about it.
You don't have a girlfriend?
No.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. That's a sore subject. I just heard you sniff like that. Oh, boy. You want to talk about that right now, Mike?
No, that's that. We need to hold another show for that.
Ooh. Well, I kind of got a minute right now. What happened over here? Have you just broken up with her?
No. It's got nothing to do with a certain one. It's just, it's been, I don't know. Well, how could I say this, Hickey? It's been rough, I guess. Not rough. I don't know. It's been difficult trying to get out there and date.
Ooh. Oh, Zim.
Yeah, I know.
Zim. Okay. Well, you know what? Now that we're about to get clearance.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but are you leaving the show right now, or is someone else taking over?
I'm out of here.
Oh, Zim, we got to get you some hot action.
I mean, I could stay if you would like me to.
I mean, I don't know. Do you want to stay and have me whore you out for the next 2 hours to America, or would you like to go home and be sad in your sorrow?
Not sad in sorrow. I kind of like sleep, but... I can stay for a little bit.
Yeah, but if she's haunting your dreams, are you really sleeping, Mike?
It's not a certain one woman.
It's a certain, what, a slew of them?
What do you call a slew of women?
A whole bunch of women. A gaggle.
A gaggle. No, it's not multiple women. It's not even one.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much. You gave me nothing. Second of all, 855-212-4CBS. You guys want to date Mike? He sounds like a real catch. He doesn't sound bizarre at all. Doesn't sound like he's downtrodden whatsoever. You know what? Maybe we'll ask our buddy Howard Bolzer if we can have him set him up with somebody right there. We'll see if that comes up next. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.